We're in lesson 63 in the book of Ephesians. As we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. We left off in verse 1, but we also was talking about, go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now, last week we talked about the sacrifices that God had made. In Hebrews chapter 5, wherefore when he come into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin that has no pleasure. So Lord God himself, the Father, sent his Son down as a sacrifice, and it took his body to sacrifice. Lambs and goats never did take care of that sacrifice, right? Never did pay for anything. But in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 says, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So it was not just necessarily the dying aspect of it, but it was the sacrifice what God did. Chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also have loved us, and have given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling Savior. And we were talking about that the other last week, is when I walked in the house and I smelled a sweet-smelling savor of food that I thought somebody was burning stuff, but it happened to be a meal that Sherry prepared. Now today, if you're around the house, Lori, I'm just joking, guys. Lori's going to prepare a meal for us today, and I'm sure we walk in there, and it's going to be a sweet-smelling savor to our senses and all, and I'm sure it's going to taste a lot better than what I prepared last night. But needless to say, that God, this is what God sees in Christ. When Christ was offered as a sacrifice, for the sacrifices you and I could not see, it was satisfied God. And when he takes in what Christ did at Calvary, it is a sweet-smelling savor to God. And that satisfied him. You know that? That really satisfied him offering his son. And I think about Abraham sometimes, when Abraham took his son and was going to sacrifice his only son that he had. And you know what? It was to please God, wasn't it? You know, and for some reason he wasn't going to hesitate, and the angel stopped him, because Abraham knew something about eternal life, everlasting life. He knew that God was going to, no matter what God would done, he would see his son again. That's awesome, but it's something that it pleases him and makes him happy and satisfy him. That sweet smelling is something that is associated with a burnt offering in the Bible. Turn to Genesis chapter 8. Hold your finger there and go to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. And Noah built an altar. That's the first time in your Bible that anybody built an altar in your Bible. First time ever. And to the Lord. And took every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, what? I will not again curse the ground for any more for man's sake. The point is here. When he put Adam and Eve on the earth, when he put them out of the garden, I should say, when he put them out of the garden, there was a place that they had to come on the earth and offer sacrifices. You with me? When they was walking with God in the garden stuff, there was no sacrifices made. They had the glory of God on them. And you think about the glory of God, it was a rainbow. And God's righteousness, you know, was on God, Adam and Eve. And when they sinned, that righteousness left them and they was put out of the garden. And when it was the only place to come on the earth to offer sacrifices. When Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4 brought their sacrifices to the Lord, they knew what to bring. They knew where to bring it, and they knew when to bring it. And you know where they brought it to?
The same place their mom and dad did sacrifice.
Well, it wasn't in a garden, was it?
Right. Outside the garden.
What guarded the gate going into
cherubims?
That's where they brought it. And they brought it there, and they brought it in a way that the cherubims kept from the tree of life. They couldn't go. You probably wonder what that is. I cut my finger a few seconds ago. So, it's not a flag or anything. It's not get your attention. But anyway, there was a place that where they brought the offerings, and that's where they poured out the blood to. And they understood that. They did not, deter from it. They know exactly where to bring it to because Adam, well, God killed an animal, didn't he? Mm-hmm. That was the first sacrifice. And he showed Adam and Eve what they had to do. But he kept the cherubims was protect that way. And he kept the devil and everybody else from messing it up. Could you imagine not them cherubims not there and you just go in and do whatever you want to? Mm-mm. Isn't that what really happened when they built the temple and they come in and they said, hey, we'll do what we want to. You know, and there's going to be a time over here in ages to come when this Antichrist desolates the temple. Okay, he's just going to just forget about the sacrifice. He's going to do it his own way. But when the flood came, here's something to think about. God took that thing off the earth and took it to heaven. Because it's not there anymore, is it? After the flood, didn't it destroy everything on this earth? And that, from that point onward, when they offered a sacrifice, they had to build an altar. And on earth and offer sacrifices, and that burnt, and it burned the thing up, what they offered. So everywhere you go through the Bible, they built an altar, didn't they?
Yeah.
To sacrifice to God. And the smoke would go up. And the smoke ascended up to heaven, and God, seeing what he saw, smelt the sweet smelling savor. He's not talking about getting into the third heaven, if you will, and Lord smelling the smoke like, you know, some sweet cigar, if you will, or, you know, if many of you smoked at the time past or smell a good. He's not talking about that. It's the ideal there of what had happened, what they was doing, being obedient that. It's what incense did. Incense would take around incense like that. What does it do for the area? Makes it smell different, don't it? You know, we use a, what do you call it, at home? Yeah, and we use a what? Diffuser. And that little mist goes in the air, and it's like coming out of a little altar, and it's, you know, it's going in the air, isn't it? And you smell like, man, this smells good around here. That's what incense does. But the symbolicism is what God was satisfied by the faith of man that brought the sacrifices. We need to remember that. Because it's always been by faith what God required of everybody. But what does man do? Yeah, I'll do faith plus this. You know, it's not good enough that I'm going it by faith. I'm going to have to show you some things. And without me getting ahead of myself, God ends up telling Israel, I don't like those sacrifices. I never did like those sacrifices. Because it didn't come from here. You know what I mean? You did it as a symbolic, like a ritual. And you know there's people today does that. Not just pagans. But there's people today in religious system that goes up every Sunday and offers themselves over and over and over and over. That's sad. Because you know what I'm thinking? They don't truly trust what Christ did then. When he died for your sins and buried and rose again. That's the ultimate sacrifice for your sin. So what else can you do?
Nothing.
So that sacrifice is burned up completely and nobody but the Lord got the benefit from it. You know, they took it to the altar and burned it up. You bring the thing and you sacrifice it and burn it up on the altar and the thing was totally dedicated. Totally belongs to the Lord. You and I didn't benefit from it. They didn't benefit from it. And when God gave Moses instructions about the tabernacle, he gave him instructions about burnt offerings, didn't he? You know, you think about they did things. They had this brazen altar and all that stuff. And every deed done out of love and gratitude, you got to listen to this. Every time these burnt offerings were offered in love and gratitude to God, it totally completed to dedicated to him, God was satisfied. Satisfied. God was pleased with those things. Go to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. He told them about an altar, so forth. Exodus 29, verse 18. At this point, they're now dedicating the priesthood. The covenant's being put up in operation here. And verse 29, and thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is completely given to the Lord and consumed. And it's consumed and the smoke goes up. And that is a sweet smell and a sweet smell unto the Lord. You know, where was we at not too long ago? Well, you probably do this too. Seems like a certain time of day, these burger joints are letting a smoke out. You ever notice that? And you smell that and like, I got to find this place. You know, that really smells good. I used to blame that on Burger King. You know, certain time of day, yeah. You know, you see that smoke coming out of that stack and you're half a mile away and you're sort of, guess what you do? It's Burger King, yeah. And you go right in there. Verse 25, and thou shalt receive them of their hands and burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering for a sweet savor before the Lord. It is an offering made by the fire unto the Lord. Verse 41, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. See what they're burning the thing up. Go to Leviticus chapter 1. To the right there. They're burning the thing up, and what happens? It becomes a what?
A sweet smelling savor.
Now let me ask you something. You ever burnt meat? Mm-hmm. What does it smell like? Not sweet, does it? I mean, it's just like, oh my goodness, what'd you just do? You know? But to God, you do it the right way, and you do it the right way, what is it to God?
A sweet.
So they had a way to do things. We may have learned something here today, how to cook meat, because I burnt that chicken. It was dry yesterday. I mean, totally dry. But it was, when you cut it, it was juicy inside, but it was just dry, wasn't it? It was, I'm telling you.
He's trying so hard to make it shake taste.
No.
That's why you have
barbecue
sauce.
Yeah, when you try to do the grill and run inside and do the stove and, you know, that type of thing, it can get overwhelming. Leviticus chapter 1. When the rules and regulations are laid down in the book of Leviticus, you had the same thing. Verse 9. And Aaron and the priests are going to take the offerings and make an atonement of the people. Okay? They are given instructions about how to cut the thing up. But his inwards and his legs shall be washed in water, and the priests shall burn all on the altar. They're burned in what? Burn it all up. To be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. Everything they're doing and dedicating to the Lord, it's going to be a sweet smell and savor. Now, well, let's keep moving. You see, the whole thing completely is consumed. All right? It's consumed. And it belongs to who? Remember last lesson we talked about? When's the last time you really gave something up for the Lord? I'm not talking about writing a check to your church. I'm not talking about, you know, coming here every Sunday. When's the last time you truly gave up something to the Lord? And we have to think, don't we? You know, what could we give up? You know, cable TV for a week? No, it ain't. It's nothing like that. It's doing something that will affect you, somebody else, for the Lord. And if you think about it, it satisfies, it honors, and it pleases the Lord. That's total dedication, what they was doing. Let's read some more verses. Verse 13. If you read some more verses, just write these down if you want to. Chapter 1, verse 13. Verse 17, chapter 2, verse 9, verse 12, and chapter 3. Those verses, you get the coordinates of just how they go out there and do these things. Because you know what? There's plenty of verses that backs up what we're saying here. And you can check those verses out. But the thing is, the burnt offering represents Christ's complete dedication to the Lord. They're asking Him that. Doesn't the Lord become the burnt offering, the sacrifice? Mm-hmm. And by the way, did you see where they washed them?
Yeah.
That's your baptism. See, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the reasons I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, not only because to be identified with John the Baptist's ministry, because they're Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, 7, 8 area, they are to be a kingdom of what?
Priest.
And in order to be a royal priest, you have to be cleansed. Okay? So Lord Jesus Christ is being cleansed. He's being washed to be the ultimate sacrifice. Okay? And the meal offering was a sweet-smelling offering. It represents that His perfect character. The peace offering is a sweet-seller. I keep getting that. Sweet Savior. Savor?
Savor. Savor. Like savor the flavor.
Okay. Okay. Sweet smell of favor.
No.
Flavor. Okay. It's what made what? Peace. Right? And these things represent, as Ephesians 5:2, when God sees Christ. He's perfect. He's the perfect sacrifice. And it's what He did. And the sacrifices back there under law, or those things that the people did, when they dedicated the sacrifices completely to the Lord. And it consumed it with what? Fire. And it honored God and it pleased Him. In the age of grace, you and I are to walk in love. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. We're walking in love. And that walk is a total dedication in the Lord. It's not in ourselves. It's in the Lord. And you are to walk in love. But I don't, you know, it's not walking in love to other people. You with me? Anybody can love somebody else, can't they? You know, we use that word really freely. But you do it because you do it for the Lord. Okay? He loved you that He died for you. And you know the passage in 1 John, it says, you don't have to worry about that. If you love the Lord, the other will take care of itself. You know, people say that stuff, right? But you are to walk in love in the Lord. And that total, complete dedication to the Lord like Christ walked. Now, many of you may be thinking that's hard to do. And you're right. It's very hard to do. But when you're in the Lord, you let Him walk in you and Him make the decisions, that makes a difference, doesn't it? It really does. You give yourself to God in total dedication. When you do that, you serve Him out of what? Love and what? Gratitude. And Paul calls the things, what do you read in Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5. That's right. That's what Paul calls it, a sweet-smelling savor. That's walking in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God. So Paul calls it that way. And the things that you do out of just love to the Lord, total dedication to Him, is a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. You know, we're not going around here building altars today. We're not going around here killing lambs and goats and rams to sacrifice to the Lord. You know, people would probably think you're silly, but, you know, there are probably religions out there that does that today. You know? Many of you have been on the Oahu Island, and there's plenty of temples there, aren't they? And you walk up through there, and you see where they sacrifice. You can go to Belize. You can go to Central America, right? They had the same things. You can go to Egypt. You can go all over the world, and there's still altars made to sacrifice to God. So you have to ask yourself, which God are you sacrificing to? Because there's a counterfeit out there, and he'll counterfeit everything that God does the right way. He counterfeits it the wrong way. And, you know, we talked about, and I don't want to get off subject a little bit, but we talked about coexisting. And you look at that emblems on there, just about every religion is in there. And I've got to ask yourself, how can you coexist with other religions if it goes against what God the Creator does? Now, in your human mind and your human body, you can. You know, you really can. But it's not what God says. You know, and I'm scratching my head, and I know we got people all over, we got loved ones everywhere that's tied up in it. And it's, you know, you look at them like, okay, I know where you're at. I really do. But you got to please the one who died for you. And he made the altar sacrifice. And those other religions out there, I'd be ventured to say those other denominations out there does not understand what God is saying here. They're going on and putting their own sacrifices out there. They're going on and pleasing their own lives. They're going on and pleasing what cause man told them to do that. I believe it takes more of a man to stand up and believe those verses and don't care what anybody else says. God said it. That settles it. You know, but sometimes we look at some things and say, you know something, I won't see something else before I make my decision. You know, I made up my mind a long time ago, this book's right. I'm always wrong. And my opinions can be wrong. But you got to back it up with the book. Ephesians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He says, I don't want your money. I want the fruit to your what? Account. And you know, people give money to the ministry, but the issue is, what's the issue here? The issue is not getting money, but the privilege of you gaining fruit from that. You with me? You give towards ministry needs because why? You want to see fruit from your ministry. Now, who don't like fruit trees? Literally. I mean, when you got them in your yard, sometimes you probably can't stand them because the bees are there. You know, if you got chestnut trees, a certain time of year when they fall, you can't walk out there barefooted. That's fruit trees. That's nut trees. I love fruit trees. I knew when I was a kid, when we left the house that morning at 8:30 or earlier just to get out of the house, we didn't come back to 5 or 6 o'clock that afternoon. You know what we ate? We ate fruit out of the trees of the fields. You know, we knew exactly where to go to Hickory Nuts and what time of year. We knew wild apple trees and stuff. You know, we knew some people's gardens they didn't mind us going into. You know, that type of thing. Granny always had biscuits. You know, so you could always eat. But those fruit trees, you got to have fruit. It's got to produce fruit. And some of these seeds today, they don't reproduce. You know that? That's sad, isn't it? So how in the world do you, how do you keep things going? You have to depend on the grocery store. You know, I don't know if y'all saw that about bananas. And one of those stores, that HIV virus was being injected in bananas. Did y'all see that? And the top of that banana was like red, black. So I love bananas. And I open up, and there's one black up there, and I'm thinking, oh, no. I know that's rotten, but still, is it possible that they can do that stuff? You know, but you take seeds on certain plants, you can't have pumpkins anymore. And I remember going to my granny's and papaw's, and they got jars of dried seeds up, you know, and they're going to plant that next year. And they kept it going. They kept stuff back, you know, that type of thing. But look, verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of, was it Epaphras, the things which were sent from you. What are they? An odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice accepted, well-pleasing to who? God. They sent Paul an offering for the work of the ministry, and they did it out of their love to God and their gratitude to God and for what God had given to them. Isn't that how you get stuff back? You know, many of us give stuff back. Our kids give stuff back to us all the time, don't they? Don't they? You know, you're like, I'm just using them as an example, but they do. Yeah. Some type of love or some type of gratitude or something. You know, sometimes you just, but do we do something for them or they do something to us to get something back? In a way, they would like a big hug or a thank you or that type of thing. But, you know, but if you don't do it out of love, why do it? Why do it at all? And Paul is offering for the work of the ministry. And they did it out of love and gratitude. And their desire to see others reach with the gospel of grace. That's why they gave to Paul's ministry, the fruit they gave to them. Because they knew Paul, what Paul was doing was getting the gospel out. And they sent the offering to Paul. And Paul says, God looks at it as a sweet savor, a sacrifice well-pleasing to him. You know, our ministry here, we give money to Grace School of Bible. I don't worry about what Grace School of Bible is doing with that money. You know, I don't have to worry about supporting a missionary in Mexico or sending Dan down to Mexico. I'm going to send $10,000 to Dan to buy his ticket down to Mexico to build a school that's going to cost another $10,000 to raise when he gets down there. When we could say, you know something? Dan says, you know something? Don't give me the money. Give it to the place that's doing the work down there. So Grace School of Bible has an outlook of a lot of things, and I don't worry about it. And I hope you don't worry about it either, because we do send them money each month. You know, that type of thing. So when you understand it, and it's something that pleases and honors God, which is the opposite of grieving him, as we looked at that, by the way. Grieving the spirit, mm-hmm. Quenching the spirit. You know, you give it out of love, don't you? You give it out of gratitude and all. And when you think about grieving the Holy Spirit, it's that self-indulgent of the sinful life. When you honor him and please him, the way you make it is a sweet-smelling sacrifice. It's just being totally dedicated to him. You know, I think about those things. I didn't have a dad to be dedicated to see, you know, do the things, that type of thing. Years and years later, he became a friend, and we started doing some things. You know, but I could never dedicate my pleas to him. Does that make sense? You know, now I've got a father in heaven, And his son died for me, which is Jesus Christ. I want to please him. Now, do I do it every day? It's sad, isn't it? You know, it really is. But do you wake up? What do you do when you wake up? Do you talk to him a little bit? Do you read your Bible? Do you go out throughout the day saying, oh, woe is me. You know, I'm the most miserable person. You ever talk to somebody else? they have a lot of issues, don't they? And it's just like, man, let me give you some words. And then you turn around like, I just gave him some words that will benefit him. Why can't it apply to my own life? And it does. It makes a difference. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, right quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll go to a couple more verses. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always calls us to triumph in Christ. You see that? Mm-hmm. What does it do? Calls us. In Christ you always what? Triumph. Whether we agree with it or not, whether we feel like, oh man, I just don't feel like it today. You triumph in Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking some things about a message I've got to do about rewards in ages to come. And I'll share this with you a little bit. You know, there's a difference about there's a difference between an award and a reward. You know, when you trust Christ Jesus, die for your sins, bury, you know, He awards you eternal life as a free gift. He awards you inheritance in Christ Jesus. You have everything that God the Father gave Jesus Christ as an inheritance right up front. But a reward is something different. Reward is on top of that award. And you think about, what is my rewards? Well, what are you doing with the gospel today? What are you doing with the sound doctrine building up in your soul that's going to impact ages to come? What is, when God the Son takes us out of here and sets us in a beamer seat of judgment, you know you're not judged for your sin. It's already totally gone with. But He judges you with what you did with this doctrine in your body, and how you affected things, and then He presents you to God the Father as a sweet-smelling Savior. And then God the Father says, well done, I'm putting you over here. See, the Father puts you in those positions of rewards of what you did. And rewards, what does it say? Gold, silver, and precious stones. You know what gold is? Well, you can't burn. Yeah, you know, it's pure, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Let's see, gold, silver, and precious stones, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. If you look in your Bible and do a comparison, that gold, silver, and precious stones has to do with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That's what don't get burned up. So the more you get the knowledge of God's Word, the more you get the understanding of God's Word, the more you get the wisdom of God's, not man's wisdom, it's not going to burn. And He takes you and puts you in those places. You with me? What you're doing today with the Word of God, right and divided, will affect eternally. Now some of us might not care. You're going to be saved anyway. You know, you're going to be up in the heavenly places. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know? But what are you doing with this sound doctrine, by the way? Not just any old doctrine. And He says that no matter what it looks like, you are a victor in Christ. And continuing, and maketh manifest the savor, the smell, the odor, the aroma of His what? Knowledge by us in every place. See, these words in this book has a lot to do with what it's going to smell good. Now, let me ask you something right quick. I know, it's getting close to the end. But look, how much do these words of knowledge and the smell, if I can use this illustration, the smell that came off that page and you smelt it and it got down when you first learned about right division?
Wow.
You know what I mean? Before you learn about right division, wasn't like, oh, this old word, God, you know, it's just this. But when you got the understanding that came off that page, like, wow, didn't that make a difference in your attitude and your smell? Yeah, it became illuminated off the page. You know, you ever go to a restaurant and look at the menu and see that sweet smelling words of that T-bone steak with pineapples? Yeah, I was in a Mexican restaurant the other day and they had that pineapple, you know, and have shrimp and steak and is it chorizo?
Chorizo,
yeah. That's all it took. Bring me that. And it was a sweet smell. I tasted it. I smelt it. I saw it on the page. That's what made me. Yeah. And verse 15. For we are unto God. He did not say unto who? Men. And if you live your life and you perform your ministry for religious organizations or religious system, it won't make any difference to God. This is what settled me a long time ago, guys. You can force your Holy Spirit to do things that you think you're pleasing God. And what we always say, the Holy Spirit does not operate off the basis of what?
Ignorance.
Ignorance, the root word of ignorance is what?
Ignore.
You ignore what God is doing. You ignore the Word of God. And you force yourself to go into a religious system and force yourself. And you know what? You're really miserable. But you're putting on an act in front of people saying, look what God's doing. You know, look what I'm doing for God. I'm like, that don't cut it, guys. And you just let them, you know, sometimes they have to fall, don't they? Sometimes they're on that treadmill. And you want to go over and turn it up and make them realize it's hard. No matter what. You start on a treadmill, it's still hard. I don't care if you start on easy. Start to incline a little bit. Man. Okay, look. Verse 15 and 16. Before you go there, Luke 16 says, Jesus said one of the most profound statements that you ever read in your life. That which is highly esteemed above man is abomination in the sight of God.
What verse is that?
That's Luke 16, 15, if you just want to write that down. Because you should really think about this. About what he just said. That which is highly esteemed among man is abomination in the sight of God. What we think is right in the sight of man is what?
An abomination.
Listen, I've been down that road. Many of you have too. You know, I'm preaching to myself here. And I have to keep reminding myself that over and over and over. And today you can still do that. Look at me. Look what I'm doing out here in the sight of God. It's abomination. But look, men esteem religion, men esteem education, men esteem money, men esteem all kinds of things in this world that don't make a lick of sense or difference as far as the ministry is concerned. You with me? We do a lot of things when it comes to, it don't appeal this thing, ministry. I know brothers and sisters, they come and learn and stuff like that, and they go right back to where they was, trying to convince the people there. You're not going to do it. An organization is huge, guys. And you're going to change their views? No. You better worry about yourself. Let's look at Corinthians 2, 15, 16 right quick. You're in 2 Corinthians, right? Verse 15. For we are unto God, that is the issue. Where were you before the Lord? A sweet smelling of Savior Christ, sweet Savior Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one, we are the Savior of death unto death. It just kills a lost man. That's what it's saying. It just kills you.
Right.
And the other is the Savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Okay? We preach and teach the Word of God. And you do it out to dedicate and to Lord, don't you? And not to get anything out of it. You know, I saw a family yesterday, and they asked me how our church is going. And I said, well, it's going. I said, we have good days and bad days, good weeks and bad weeks. I said, but you know, this is my tent making job. I don't want to be charged to you for anything. You with me? Now, I appreciate what you do to give me. I'm not saying that, but I don't want to be charged. I don't want, you know what I'm saying? You do it because, yes, you do it, you're dedicated to the Lord. And it doesn't make any sense if a lost man won't receive it. and the saved man does receive it. It doesn't make any difference what the result is. It pleases the Lord in that verse. Mm-hmm. Hey, all scriptures are given for inspiration. Whatso was written aforetime was written for our learning. And if you can't see what Israel tried to do in themselves to please God, and God over and over and over told them, I don't want that. I don't want your lambs. I don't want your goats. But they did it anyway.
Didn't want to put them under the law, but they begged for that.
All he wanted was your faith and just trust that. And today, in the dispensation of grace, we believe Christ died for your sins, buried, rose again. Was we there? Well, by faith, we have to. You mentioned 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5 this morning about the gospel that saves. And you believe that. I wasn't there. You wasn't there. But God made a sacrifice. And we believe the book. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.